Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's August 24th. This is Brad Culp. I'm here in the studio with Sam Grass and Lee Cantor. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Brad.
How are y'all today?
We're doing well. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing fine. It's another steamy day here, but I bet it's hotter in Dallas.
It is.
Did you all feel, Lee and Sam, did you all feel the earthquake the other day?
No, I missed it.
I was out making sales calls. I didn't have time to feel the earth shake.
You were making the earth shake. I don't know if y'all saw the picture of the plastic chair that fell over.
No.
It's been going around. It's a picture of like a Walmart table with four chairs and one of them fell over. It's kind of funny. I grew up in California, so if it doesn't hit 7.0.
It doesn't count,
just kind of a non-event to me. But at least nobody got hurt. Supposedly it was, they were saying on the news that you could feel it here in Atlanta, but I haven't talked to anybody that actually felt it. So somebody compared it to the garbage truck driving by outside. Anyway, we got a great show this morning. Here in Atlanta, we have Janice Simeon from Emeritus in Sandy Springs, and we're going to get to her in a minute. But good morning, Janice.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. And thanks for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
And as usual, we're going to start in Dallas this morning. We've got Kevin Ritz in the studio in Dallas with Gwen Massey from Senior Care Finder and Consultants. And Kevin, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Brad and Sam. Joined today in Dallas by Gwen Massey with Senior Care Finder and Consultants. Good morning, Gwen. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How's everyone else?
I think we're all doing well. Let's start out by having you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, maybe where you went to school, and how you came to be with Senior Care Finder.
Again, my name is Gwen Massey. I am a Texas girl born in East Texas, Tyler. I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for over 30 years. I went to the University of Texas at Tyler, got my bachelor's degree there, so I'm a registered nurse. I have done all types of nurses, been in nursing. I've been in the operating room. I've done medical surgical nursing. I've been director of nurses at a nursing home twice in my career. And in the last 8 years, I've done hospice nursing. So with all of that, I decided that it was time for me to start a business of my own. And the reason I started Senior Care Finders and Consultants is so that I could assist elders and their family members find the care and the services that they need. Because even as a professional and as on a personal level, I found that once our elders start to decline, we find it very difficult to know exactly what they need, how to find what they need, and once we know about certain services, what do those services do and how do they benefit us. So my own personal experience was as a nurse being hospital-based. My grandmother lived with me for about 10 years, and she started to decline. And when it was some things started to happen, I told the doctor. He said, well, maybe home health would help. And when home health came out, I was kind of blown away as to all the services that they provided. 2 years later, my grandmother went on to hospice. And again, I was surprised at the services and the type of patients that hospice took, because as a professional nurse working in the hospital, I had a general idea of what hospice did, but I wasn't exactly sure what they did until my grandmother went on the services. So from the very first person to the last person that took care of my grandmother, I was very pleased. And 2 weeks after my grandmother passed, I became a hospice nurse. So through all of that and working with people, I just found that was always a difficult time as our elders declined, knowing what to do, how to get the services they need, and how the services would benefit us.
Right, and that's a great background. And you mentioned home health and hospice as two of the services, but what are some of the other services that you help your clients get in touch with?
Well, our services, we're not the care providers. We are the ones who do, we do an assessment. What we do is elders can call us on any elder issue, and we will do an assessment over the phone with them and find out what's going on medically, mentally, physically, and financially. And then we'll verify what it is the elder and or the family member is looking for or think that they need. And then we may do some education about what they need. And so one of the scenarios I often give is that sometimes people will call and say, well, you know, I went to see Mom. It's been 2 or 3 weeks, and I noticed that she'd lost weight. When I ask her why was she losing weight, she said, oh, I just don't like to cook. So she's just eating a peanut butter sandwich and so forth, or picking up a piece of cheese or something. So the family member is in a dilemma. What should I do? Should I take food to Mom? Should I bring her home with me? What should I do? So my suggestion sometimes after I do the assessment, if everything else is going okay with Mom, I'll say maybe in-home care will help Mom. So I'll say, you know, maybe all Mom needs is to have someone come in, cook the meals, clean the kitchen, and visit with her while she's eating one of those meals and leave meals for her to prepare for herself or heat up for herself. So we assist with almost all kinds of services to elders. So if they need in-home care, if they need hospice care, home health, and we especially focus on housing, and we'll assist them to find independent living, assisted living, memory care, and personal care homes or residential care homes. We'll even help them find elder law attorneys and so forth. So they can call us for almost any kind of elder issue, and we'll try to help.
Do you help with long-term care insurance claims and the VA, putting them in touch with the VA benefits people?
Exactly. We have persons in our database who also will assist them with that. So if they call and they need information on those things as well, on VA benefits and Medicare, we also have persons in our system that will also assist them with that.
Well, that's a great service. And, you know, I imagine that just through what you do, you find a lot of value, and you experience a lot of personal reward. What do you find most rewarding about what you do when you're helping these people?
Oh, gosh, there are lots of things that I find rewarding, and I've always found rewarding about being a nurse. But one of the things I find really rewarding about doing senior care finders is that I'm able to really listen well to the clients when they call and actually be able to fit something into what they're looking for, that I'm able to not only help them figure out exactly what they're looking for and what's going on, but also to actually have people that I can steer them to so that they get the care, the services that they need. And one of the things, we are very hands-on, and we do not recommend any service or any care provider unless we have a personal relationship with them. We also go to all the homes that we recommend. So if we go to assisted living, recommend assisted living personal care home, we've been there, we know the owners, and we have a personal relationship with.
That's fantastic. When somebody first calls you and you go through that assessment, what's the next step after you've done that? Do you do personal meetings? Is it mostly done over the phone?
It can be both ways. There are times I go out and have to finish the assessment. If we're placing someone into assisted living, residential care, personal care homes, then oftentimes we meet them, and we also will take them to the homes. We'll recommend 2 to 3 homes that are within what they're looking for, price, location, services. We'll actually go with them. So there are times when we actually meet to do the assessment, but yes, there are times we meet our clients, and sometimes most of our work may be done over the phone.
How long, and I know this is going to vary depending on your client, but how long does it take to typically, from the first time they reach out to you, to getting them a game plan or a solution? What's the time frame that usually looks like?
According to the need of that person, it can be within that same day that we'll be able to find them what they're looking for and get them in touch with what they need. If it's information about VA benefits or Social Security, we can get them in touch with those people within that time frame of that day. If they're looking for housing, That get usually we take about a day or so to do research for them, and then make sure we find the right location for them. So it's and also according to what their needs are, because at times they have time frames and they don't need the services, you know, until 3 weeks from now and so forth, which also gives us time to really do the research for them.
Oh, that's great. So it's flexible, and it sounds like typically if something needs to happen very quickly, you have the ability to help them find that solution within just a matter of a couple of days.
Definitely, we can do that.
Do you have a particular story of a client that might have touched you personally or would give people just a great example of what your services provide?
Well, you know, I have a very, personal care homes or residential care homes is something that I really love for the kind of care that they give to our elders. And if people don't know what personal care or residential care assisted living homes are, they're usually residential homes in a regular residential neighborhood. They have 4 to 6 clients, and so their clients get really hands-on personal care. I had one person that went from her home where she was living alone. Her sons came to visit once in a while, and they noticed that she was declining. She wasn't eating well. She was losing weight. She was lethargic, drowsy. So we assisted her to find a personal care home. And after 1 week of being in the personal care home, she was able to start to perk up and to eat better and became the life of the community in the home. And so she's alert, she's oriented now, and she's doing very well. Had another scenario real quickly that a lady was in a nursing home for about 3 months, and within 3 months, our family says that she declined from being able to speak clearly and coherently, even though she had Alzheimer's, and she forgot a conversation within seconds or minutes, but she could speak clearly and coherently, and she could also walk and walk herself to the bathroom. From being in the nursing home for 3 months, she declined. I couldn't walk, speech slurred. We took her out of the home, put her in a personal care home, and within 2 weeks off of the drugs that she was on a routine basis, had her back at the level she was in 3 months prior, where she was coherent and able to walk herself to and from where she needed to go. So those were very rewarding opportunities to serve for us.
Yeah, definitely. And staying on the topic of personal care homes, I know you have an event coming up that you're involved with. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. One of the things that we also help do is with the personal care homes, which are the smaller homes that do assisted care and sometimes total care, one of those homes is called Goland Residential Care, and we're assisting them with an open house that's going to be held on August 31st. It will be from 11 o'clock until 2. Lunch will be served. And the address for that is 8014 Inwood Road in Dallas. And that's 75209. And we hope that not only care providers and caregivers, but individuals also will come by and see this beautiful home that's definitely set up and designed to be able to take care of our elders very well.
Oh, great. And do they need to RSVP?
You can RSVP or you can just show up. It helps us out if you RSVP to 214-546-1935. And that's my number, and you can ask for Gwen.
All right. And if you had a piece of advice that you'd like to pass along to seniors or caretakers or caregivers, what would that piece of advice be?
Well, I have lots, but the one that really is always on my heart is that our elders, as well as those of us who are in that range of 50 to 65, we need to start to have those conversations that we as younger adults didn't want to have with our children about sex. Now we need to have those conversations with our children or with our elders to say, Mom, Dad, what is it that you want as you decline? I know you're pretty healthy now, but what do you want if and when you start to decline us to do? What kind of care? Do you have a will? Do you have a power? Have you set up a power of attorney? What kind of things do you want? Do you want a feeding tube? Do you not want a feeding tube? Tell us what it is you want. And if, you know, hopefully the elder could have that conversation with us But if the elder can't have that conversation with us, then we need to initiate that conversation, even though it's very hard to ask our parents, well, Mom, do you have a will? Because, you know, it's a hard thing. But it needs to happen. Like I tell people a lot of times with my daughter, I've already told my daughter and my son-in-law that I trust them with my life and I trust them with my money. And that when it's time, hopefully I'll always be able to take care of myself. But if the time comes and they need to assume responsibility for me, that I want them to assume that responsibility and not feel guilty for whatever it is they feel they have to do.
Well, that's great. That's some of the best advice we've had on the show. I really appreciate you sharing that. If our listeners would like to get in touch with you, what would the best way to go about doing that be?
One of the best ways, of course, is always calling me at 214-546-1935. You can also check out our website, which is www.thecarefinder.com. Or our email address is info@thecarefinder.com.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your morning to come and talk with us. It was a very good interview. And with that, we will send it back to Brad and Sam in Atlanta.
We thank you, Gwen. Good information. Thank you for being our guest today. And once again, thanks to you, Kevin, for all you do in Dallas.
Thank you guys for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Joining me today in Atlanta is Janice Simeon. Janice is with Emeritus at Sandy Springs Place, I believe.
That's correct.
Okay. So why don't we begin? And first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, Janice. Tell us where you're from, a little bit of background information, and then go over to what you're doing.
Absolutely. My background is customer service, sales, and marketing. Originally, I'm from Opelousas, Louisiana. I went to high school and business school there.
Okay, and how did you come to be in this arena that you are presently?
I actually have a desire for seniors. I had a good friend that was in the field. She worked at Merrill Gardens. Her name was Stephanie Sutton. And she just called me one day, and she said, "Hey, we have an opening here. You're right for the business, and you have a desire to help seniors. So I'd like to see you get into the field." So I actually worked at Merrill Gardens before I came to Emeritus.
Okay, and what are some of those qualities that that you need to be in the senior care field?
Okay. A lot of customer service, patience, listening to the family members, see what their needs are, what are their concerns are, that kind of thing.
Tell us how you transitioned over to Emeritus.
Well, I actually met a friend again, I guess it's word of mouth, and she actually told me about the opening, community relations director, and just applied for it and got the job.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about Emeritus, who they are, what services do they provide, what makes them special?
Okay. Well, first of all, Emeritus is the largest company in assisted living and memory care in the U.S. Some of my responsibilities is to build relationships with professionals and spread the word in our community and educate them on the care and services that we provide.
What does Emeritus bring to the marketplace that's unique? What makes it so special? Why would I want to be a client of Emeritus?
Because first of all, we associate with the Alzheimer's Association in the memory care. It's just a single building. So it's not like on a second floor or third floor, but we come highly recommended, Emeritus does. And we also specialize in this program called Join Their Journey. Mm-hmm. This program provides us with the ability to meet the residents and family needs at the stage of the disease process. Mm-hmm. For the residents, we allow them the dignity to live their lives in a way that feels familiar to them. And for the family, building a partnership based on communication, education, support, and commitment to the family.
Why don't you why don't you describe the layout of Emeritus? I know there's two distinct units. You spoke of them, an assisted living and a memory care. And why don't you develop that theme a little bit?
Okay. Assisted living, we have a separate building with it's independent and assisted living. And Wendy Whitney is actually the executive director there. And then we have a memory care, which is also a separate building as well. As I was saying before, we partnership with the Alzheimer's Association. It's designed depending on the stage that the resident is in, and that's first, middle, and late stages.
So you have three communities within the building then?
We actually have two communities. The larger community is assisted living, and then the community next door is the memory care.
But within your memory care building, you said you have kind of three stages.
Three stages. We have four wings because we actually have 52 rooms. There's 14 rooms on each wing.
Okay.
But, yes, it is based on first, middle, and late stages of their dementia.
And how does their care differ as they progress from one stage to another?
They have different behaviors as they start declining. It could be numerous of things. They can some of them don't want to eat. They resist to eat. Sometimes they have outbursts. Sometimes they don't want to take a shower. Sometimes they don't want to participate in activities. It could be numerous of things.
Now, when you are working with the family of somebody that's going to put somebody there, is that, can you walk us through, our listener, kind of some of the questions that maybe you wish they asked? Do you know anything?
First of all, when they come over, of course, they have a lot of, you know,
It's usually a crisis, right? Some sort of crisis has come up.
Yes. It is a crisis.
They don't just pop by to say hi.
No,
right?
They don't just pop by to say hi. Most of them, they do have a lot of concerns, or they can't take care of them anymore.
And they feel bad, right? This is like an emotional meeting. This isn't.
It's very emotional. Very emotional. In fact, I have a resident that is moving in today, believe it or not, that is moving from New York. And the family is trying to get the whole family transition here from the mother to the children. And she's actually going to let her husband bring the mom over because she can't deal with it.
Right,
it's very emotional for her. Very emotional. It's just hard to let go. It's just hard to let go.
Now, they probably feel bad because that they can't take care of them, and then they're like kind of delegating this important role to your organization.
Yes, and they have a lot of trust. You know, it's like they're turning over their loved one to us. So, of course, they expect that love and care and service.
So now how do you kind of coach them through this? How do you kind of let them know this is a safe place, this is okay? Can you share some of those conversations or some of the, you know, when you're meeting with them and they're emotional and it's their loved one and they're about to, you know, kind of give them to you to care for, that's tough.
We do reassure them. Of course, our community is a secure unit,
right?
Because some of them sometimes do seem to wander. So it is secure. We do reassure them that they cannot get out of the community. And that we do have certified people that can take care of their loved one. We have staff around the clock. We have nursing assistants that's there. We have a full-time nurse there as well. They give them their medication, that bathe them, dress them, groom them. They get three meals a day,
right?
That kind of stuff. So they're very well taken care of.
Now, is the family kind of want to see what a day looks like? Do you kind of walk them through this? They're going to wake up, and this is going to happen, and this.
Absolutely. Once I actually get the discovery process over with the family member, I give them a tour, and then also let them know what the routine is about. We have an activity director that's on board that have like a daily routine that they do. Gradual. They get up in the morning, of course, get cleaned up. They have breakfast at a certain time, and then they start their activities. They may have like a sit exercise or chair exercise. They have some kind of word game. they have numerous of things. We had glamour shots a couple of weeks ago, which was very, very rewarding to them. It's amazing to see an 80-year-old become a 50-year-old again. They put on makeup and got real pretty, and they really, really looked good. But they have art classes. They work with plants. They go to the grocery store. Some of them go to church. So it's a lot of activities that they actually get into.
So do you see them respond when you do, like, you know, the glamour shots? I mean, do you see changes as you do things like that for them?
Absolutely. They still have that tendency to thrive and still live. And that's a rewarding thing to me. It's like giving something back to them, you know. You see them in that stage, and of course, you know, there's no cure for dementia, Alzheimer's, but just making them feel good and making them be interactive is a good thing for them.
And what do you tell family members in terms of their involvement and their interaction, their continued involvement and continued interaction with their loved one?
We have a newsletter. We also have a report that we report to them on a weekly basis on what are they doing, what are they interacting with, and that kind of stuff. And also the family members are really close to them, so they, you know, come and they check on their family members as well. And most of the time when they come in, you know, they're doing activities, or they even interacting with them when they're doing the activities.
Do you see that makes a difference for, you know, let's take two residents, one whose family lives out of state and they don't come to visit very often, and another resident who has close family that is very involved. Do you see that making a difference in that person's life?
Absolutely. It surely does. It makes a big difference, because sometimes the family members, well, of course, they're going to report to the family member that's out of state, and then sometimes when that family member is visiting their loved one, they can actually see the progress.
I know in our business, you know, we serve people in their homes primarily, sometimes in facilities like yours, but there's sometimes a tendency for the family to think, oh, well, Emeritus is in control, they got it, and they kind of put their loved one off to the side almost. And we see it in our business where, you know, again, they're thinking, well, the caregiver's there, she's handling it, she's socializing my mother or my father, and so we have a tendency to sometimes see a drop-off in family involvement. And when that happens, I think there's a big impact on the resident.
Absolutely. The family members do trust us, and I'm glad that they have that confidence in us. We do take really good care of their family members. In fact, we have this motto. It's called our family is committed to yours, and we are. We feel like that's my mother and my father live in Louisiana, so I would want a caregiver or someone to do the same for my mom and my dad when I'm not there.
Now, what about interactions with, like, children or pets or things like that? Is that something that the residents enjoy?
Oh, absolutely. We do have the Humane Society come in, and family members bring their animals. The grandchildren just love coming to see grandma, grandfather, and some of them, like I said, they just there for them. They interact in the activities that we might have going on, and it's just a good thing to see the smile on their face.
Now, it's somebody who has a small child or a younger child, do you have to, like, kind of coach them of what to expect? And maybe it's not the grandma that you remembered from 5 years ago. This is, you know, do you help them kind of help their children?
Absolutely. We do let them know what's going on. Sometimes they don't understand, but their mother or their father is there, and they'll also coach them and say, well, you know, grandmother is not what she used to be, but she do remember you, and try and conversate with her,
right.
You know, that kind of stuff.
You know, as you were speaking, Janice, it came to clearly to my mind that one of the most important aspects of all of this, as you said, keep going back to, is activity.
Right.
I know that there are certainly medical prescription treatments for dementia, Alzheimer's, but I also know that activity does as well as anything. Besides the glamour, and what are some of the other activities that go on a regular basis?
Well, they have like a they walk early in the morning. Our community is almost like a square when you come in, mm-hmm. Where they actually walk around. They go to lunch. We had a spaghetti dinner just last week that they participated mm-hmm. in. We had a garage sale. They donated some of their things and help pricing and that kind of stuff. We also have professionals from the churches that mm-hmm. come and volunteer. Mm-hmm. We have people from the hospital. And that comes, and the Girl Scouts, Mr. Girl Scouts, they come and volunteer as well.
I know on the assisted living side, it's pretty standard that you can get residents outside of the facility out into the community. Does any of that happen within the memory unit?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want them to still be able to thrive just like the assisted living. Of course, they have, their memory. Some of them, their memory is not quite there, but they can still go out and do things. They still go out and shop and they walk and they interact with other individuals as well, especially little games and that kind of stuff. Some of them like to paint, do arts and crafts and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Now, you mentioned some physical things, but you also mentioned some, like, puzzles and things like that. That's an important component of their day?
Absolutely, because it's like a refresher for the mind. Mm-hmm. And like I say, of course, they're limited on what they can do, but you would be surprised on what they can do. It's surprising to me sometimes.
Now, have you ever seen a situation where maybe they were at a certain level and then you started engaging them with these kind of puzzles and these activities and they improved?
Absolutely. Some of them have more long-term memory than they do short-term memory. So they remember a good bit of stuff. They really do.
Is there a story you could kind of relate to us?
You were surprised by?
Yeah. One story I can recall is I was actually interacting with the resident and. We were playing bingo, to tell mm-hmm. you the truth, and so, believe it or not, some of the numbers you wouldn't even think that they would remember, but they did, and it was really, really shocking to me and to the activity director.
What do you find most rewarding in what you're doing at Emeritus?
For me, is making sure that needs are met and that they're happy with our service and care, and what's mainly important to me is that they are happy, they're healthy, and they're still thriving. That's a big reward for me.
It sounds like a real thriving, dynamic community.
It is. Good. It is. You need to come join us sometimes.
For our listening audience who might be starting this process and might have a loved one that's affected by dementia or Alzheimer's, what piece of advice might you give them as they start to process and figure out which direction to go?
For me, it would be wellness. To me, it's a sense of safety, security, make sure their personal needs are met, their health and their well-being.
All right, that's great. If our listening audience wanted to contact you or reach out to Emeritus directly, give us that information.
Sure. You could reach out to me at 770-650-8800 or www.emeritus, that's emeritus.com.
And if somebody wanted to visit your facility, what's your address?
We're located at 1262 Hightower Trail, and that's Atlanta, Georgia, 30350.
Well, Janice, we certainly appreciate you being our guest. That was great information. We look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no problem. And that's it for today. We want to thank our guests that have joined us in Dallas, as well as Janice here in Atlanta. We also want to thank our listeners for tuning in and remind them that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.